big data programs are helping the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services protect hundreds of millions of dollars from fraud. The White House talking about the successes there. The administration wants to introduce more big data programs to help other agencies save money, but privacy concerns and other roadblocks may slow that progress down. Christian Heider is Chief Technology Officer at Hitachi Data Systems Federal, my guest on Industry Chatter today, and here to talk about how big data is saving agencies money and helping drive efficiencies. Christian, it's great to see you. Thank you for coming on the program today.
Good afternoon, Francis. Nice. Thank you for having us on here.
Happy to do it. Do you see the culture and worldview of big data changing in the light of things like we're seeing at VA, where people thought the data said one thing and it turns out the data actually said something else? Are agencies getting a better handle on data hygiene and the ability to rely on the data that they have and being able to be confident to exchange it with other agencies?
Yes, that is certainly been increasing. We have now the ability to have larger data stores in multiple places. We have the ability to synchronize the data across multiple places. And we have to make sure that the integrity between that data in the various data stores is at the highest level. Part of that is we have to look at encryption for making sure the data is secure, it cannot be tampered. And a lot of that comes down to making sure that as the data comes on board, is brought into the systems, that is cleansed properly, and that it now has value and is stored for longer term in through a proper infrastructure.
We've talked about encryption in this space for a long time, and is encryption something that is a continuously evolving area, or is it static because the security needs of agencies and other organizations, even though they're changing, they continue to be very high?
I think the need has always been there. Now, privacy concerns, particularly when you look at places like the VA, agencies like the VA, they need to protect that information. And if we all would like our personal information secured as well, as much as possible. And that's what we need to drive, is make sure that we have solutions throughout the total, through the whole chain, to make sure that we do not lose that data and we keep the privacy necessary.
What is driving the changes that you're seeing in encryption and the needs that agencies have? I imagine it's a never-ending desire to have more and better for whatever it is they're trying to keep safe.
Well, again, it comes down to the privacy.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure whether it's government for intelligence and for the intelligence community, whether it's private for medical data, we want to make sure that whole chain is protected correctly.
Mm-hmm.
We also want to make sure that we have multiple copies, so if we do lose one site, and there's lots of technology out there that allows to do that, we have to make sure we look at that whole solution, make sure it's clean all the way through.
What are some of the obstacles that you're seeing in the storage area right now?
Well, surely the sheer volume of data that's coming in. We have so much coming off of sensors. We have so much coming in from all of the daily activities, whether it's social media, coming back to the VA, consider all the imaging that gets generated for that. All the x-rays, all the doctor's notes, all the scans that come in. We want to make sure that all gets stored. Well, that volume of data is so large. And even the IDC is saying, as taking a look as you go towards 2020, there's probably going to be around 40 zettabytes of data that are getting generated and we now have to store. Well, now that generates the problem or raises the question, how are we going to store that much data? How can we do this cost effectively? Yes, we would like to do that. How are we going to do that? And that's the real challenge we have in the industry and in the federal government and in the private community as well.
You talk about images and tweets and all kinds of stuff like that, and it strikes me that maybe we should step back and set a definition, if we can, of what data actually is or how federal agencies think of data today. Because I hear discussion about in DOD and intelligence communities about collecting video, and that counts as data. And so there are all different kinds of things that people are collecting and trying to form into sets, sort them out, and so on. Mm-hmm. So let's pull back and do that. What qualifies as data in this day and age?
Well, these days it's anything. It could be sensor data. It could be information coming off of social media paths. It could be images. It could be videos, just cameras on the streets. It could be cameras in cars. It could be car telemetry, helping out with tracking, GPS data. All this does count. It's all different types of data. Now it comes down to taking a look to see what makes sense to save. We can't save everything. We have to take a look through the whole chain, through the whole process, and know what we store correctly, what is stored for longer term. And as the government is now starting to mandate, some of this data is no longer stored for 5 or 10 years. Now they're moving towards 50 and 100 years and sometimes forever, mm-hmm. the life of the republic.
Yeah. The steps that I kind of did in my little amateur way of putting the information together to get ready to talk to you, it strikes me there are three steps. There's collecting the data, and that's just getting as much of this stuff in, as you can. There's the sort and save step where, as you just alluded to, we can't keep everything. So how do we determine what we need to hang on to? And then there's the analyze step, because if you collect it all and you don't figure out how you're going to do something with it or what you want to solve with that information, there's no use in keeping it in the first place. Did I miss any steps? Do I have them in the right order? And is it as simple as that? And yet, I certainly know it's not simple, but is that, am I oversimplifying it maybe a little bit?
No, I don't think so. The order will depend on missions, programs, use cases, needs. But think about even coming back to our personal lives. We have huge amounts of images. We take lots and lots of pictures. We store them on our computers. What are we going to do with those? Do we put them into the bank vaults? Do we have copies there? Do we trust that? Do we have 5 copies on disks, flash? How are we going to store and manage this? Not only at the federal agencies, it's through our whole lives and how we do that. So in terms of the steps that you mentioned, that's a great first pass. There's no one answer for all of those. And we have to figure out how to do these. The last piece is much of that is a manual process. Coming back to the images, when you take a look after your vacation or a trip with family, how do you know which pictures you want to save? How many people actually go through and trim out all those pictures? There's probably lots of fuzzy pictures out there.
All the ones I took. We delete the ones I took right away because they're normally terrible.
Myself as well.
So you said there's no one answer in setting those priorities. So how do you go about that then? What are the points that you're looking at to set those priorities if there's not one order to do it? How do you go about establishing that order?
Well, that comes on the process. What's your program? What's your mission? And that usually comes with it a set of requirements. And those requirements will drive the behavior. If you're collecting video images or camera images, still images, you may have a requirement that says, I must keep those for 30 days, 60 days, 10 years. Your process that you go through will tell you, I'll need to first tier it onto high-speed storage. I need to be able to do my processing. Then I tier it down to lower tier storage. And then I may move it off to an archive or even longer, going more towards preservation. I need to preserve that data. And basically the requirements come back and they dictate what you will be doing.
So this is, as I mentioned, a complex challenge. When we come back, I want to talk about potentially simplifying the situation if that can be done. My guest is Christian Heider. He's the Chief Technology Officer at Hitachi Data Systems Federal, and we'll continue our conversation in a minute on Industry Chatter on Federal News Radio. Be right back. Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Christian Heider of Hitachi Data Systems Federal, my guest on Industry Chatter today. And we talked a little bit before the break, Christian, about the complexity that agencies are dealing with in this big data problem that they're dealing with. Is there a way to simplify it, or is it a matter of working through the steps that we talked about before and just dealing with this avalanche of information that continues to come in and continues to come in and continues to come in?
There are ways to simplify it. Here at Hitachi Data Systems Federal, we have technology that allows you to do storage virtualization. People have been doing server virtualization for quite some time. Storage virtualization allows us to tier the data effectively, moving your data that's not often used down through the various stacks into more cost-effective storage. We have the ability to go and tie this through other manufacturers. We don't need to do a rip and replace or replace all the hardware that's out there that exists. It allows it to be smarter, be more cost-effective, and still be able to use the technology that's there to support the program that you're ultimately trying to support.
What makes a difference in what I pay for level of storage? I mean, I could if it were physical items, I could understand that, whether they're, you know, 5 feet away or 5 miles away or 500 miles away. That makes sense. Is there a parallel to that in data storage?
Sure. There's different levels of quality. When we go to Best Buy or the local community, we buy consumer grade drives.
Mm-hmm.
When you work towards enterprise, you have enterprise quality drives. They last longer, have higher reliability. That's really where most of the agencies, most of the government and the commercial sectors are really putting their data, and they trust to that. But there are different levels within that. There's faster, larger, faster seek times. So you get what you pay for, mm-hmm. in this community and in the technology. Just need to be smarter about how you use it. We'd love to put everything on the fastest drives that are out there, or the fastest storage, or the fastest processor, or the fastest camera, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be smart about that. And that, with the right technology, you can do that.
So that takes us back to the part of the conversation that we talked about before, which is in the prioritization process, you're determining how fast do I need this stuff if I ever need it at all. And those kinds of things that fit into that part of the conversation.
Sure, and you really want to take a look at your data life architecture.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure.
Explain that term.
Well, data comes in. And just thought of it right now. As the data comes in, you have to do some quick analysis on it. You may want to keep it around for a while on faster tier storage to do more in-depth analysis over the course of the next few days. But then as the data ages, it has less value. You want to migrate it down through the various tiers to the point where you actually may want to archive it, or if you have longer-term requirements, you want to preserve that. And Hitachi Data Systems Federal, we're actually trying to address that full data life cycle, that full data life architecture, to make sure that you can preserve it for long-term, for many, many tens of years or hundreds of years, and do it safely but cost-effectively.
Where does the information sharing fit into that? If I have a data set that I think some other agency may be interested in, or some other bureau inside my agency may be interested in, and I want to give them access to that information, how does that fit into this concept of a data life architecture? You, by the way, you should keep that. That's a great term.
thank you. I think it really comes down to access policies, where we've talking about encryption before, how we have stored that data. We would like other people to use that. We have to build the proper gateways, the firewalls, to make sure that that data access is correctly defined and correctly limited. I'm not sure any one of us would like our personal information to be shared out there. The European Union has new privacy standards where they actually would like your data to be deleted any time. We may come to that here in the States as well in the future, but we need to plan for that in the full life cycle of your data.
Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit during the break about some issues that agencies are finding themselves up against, and we came across a couple of terms that apply in the big data space that are normally associated with acquisition. Best value and lowest price technically acceptable. And I wouldn't have thought that they applied in a big data context, but you've had some experiences where, both on a personal and professional level, that's turned out to be exactly the right terminology to use to describe issues that people are having in the data realm.
Sure. In our industry, Hitachi Data Systems Federal, specifically here, we have many customers that went through the path of finding the cheapest whatever, whether it's servers, storage, networks. And a lot of times that comes back and hurts, because when you go back and access your data, it's not available or it's questionable. Back to what you started with in the beginning, you take a look at the quality of the information, the integrity in the information. If you've done your purchase at a best value, which incorporates the total quality, then that works for most missions much better than just the cheapest price. And that's a hard step even for us when we go to the grocery store.
The ability of agencies to discern that right now, though, when even the IT shops are struggling with what does all of this big data stuff mean, it seems to me is really a difficult journey. with the acquisition shops having the challenges that they have, and they're, I guess, learning this on the fly, following along with the IT shops. So it strikes me that this, it's a really difficult situation to be in, to figure out how this all goes.
Sure. Budgets are not likely to increase by a large amount in the near future. But we have to work within our means, which means we need to be smarter about how we use that. That means not only a capital expenditure, we need to look at that, but we also have to take a look at the operational costs, as down or called OPEX, operational expenditures. When you do your initial purchase, take a look at how much power, cooling, floor space you're going to be using. People in New York City, the commercial industry is there, have figured this out a long time ago because their price per square foot is a large driver of what they bought, part of their acquisition process. We need to consider that as well. So it's not just a CapEx, a capital expenditure up front. We need to take a look at the longer term and make sure we value that through the whole life cycle of that equipment.
You actually anticipated where I wanted to go next, and that is, what can the government learn from what private sector companies have been doing with big data, and not just associated with the information itself, the life cycle cost things that you're talking about there, other drivers like that. What lessons can agencies learn to help them with big data issues?
Well, I think the government has already strongly moved down the path towards server virtualization, being smarter about the assets that are out there for the compute side. The commercial industry has really embraced the storage virtualization, and I see strong pull, and we see that in our business at Hitachi Data Systems Federal, for bringing in more storage virtualization. Be smarter about how you use your storage. You don't always have to buy the biggest, fastest. Same thing with networks. You can have various tiers of quality of storage life, and that affects your overall price and the overall cost of building out your infrastructure.
I know making predictions in the information technology world is a dicey proposition, but where do you expect to see the federal agency big data state of the art in a year or 2 years or 5 years?
I think a lot of that, there's a large focus on Hadoop technology, the processing for being able to do the searches. As time goes on, there's some interesting, very good, very solid technology around in-memory databases, and that's driven by the cost of memory is coming down very quickly. Now we can store much more locally. It changes the model by which we are going to do our analytics in the future. Keep it more in memory, servers inside the servers, and be able to do much more real-time processing.
Christian, it's a great conversation. I appreciate you coming in today. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much for your time as well.
And by the way, we have something in common. We love the state of New Hampshire. You love it so much that you live there. So I thank you for coming down here and stopping by to see me today.
Wonderful place. Come visit us anytime.
I'm looking forward to it. Christian Heiters, Chief Technology Officer of Hitachi Data Systems Federal. My conversation with him posted at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.